yesterday's attacks on other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
For the better part of the last century, crude oil prices have swung like a pendulum, pushing and pulling the fortunes of nations. That pendulum is on the move again, sending the price of oil to less than $40 in recent months, for more than $100 a barrel in
2014. هذا هبوط خطير.
On May 7th, 2016, Saudi King Salman replaced his long-serving oil minister Ali al-Naimi. As part of a major government overhaul in the face of a slump in energy revenue. Scores of companies have gone bankrupt and an estimated 250,000 oil workers have lost their jobs. The double whammy of low profits and worker strike.
لازلنا نرى استهتار كبير من قبل الحكومة في اتخاذ إجراءات من شأنها حل هذه الأزمة. قبل بداية الإضراب كان إنتاج دولة الكويت من النفط من 2.7 إلى 3 مليون برميل باير داي. اليوم نزل إلى 1.5 تقريبا ولسه الإضراب في أول يوم له. هذه خسائر فادحة.
نحن كعمال اليوم ننتفض ونجتمع في هذا الطقس الحار لكي نبين للجميع ونبرهن بأن ما نعانيه اليوم هو بسبب الإخفاقات السياسية ممن يديرون هذا القطاع الحيوي في دولة الكويت.
Executives think it'll be years before oil returns to $90 or $100 a barrel, a price producers need to drill profitable wells.
Lo que está en juego aquí es la defensa de nuestro producto, el derecho que tienen los países productores a tener un precio de equilibrio, un precio que justifique las inversiones, un precio que justifique y equilibre nuestras economías y que, no es, y que eso no esté en manos de especuladores, que es lo que ha pasado en los últimos meses.
It's been floating around that the world is running out of oil. It should mean that the price of oil would be higher. And the worldwide supply would be smaller. However, the opposite is happening. Oil prices have dropped significantly, making oil relatively cheaper than ever. But how is this possible? The price of oil, like gas and coal, is formed by supply and demand. Three forces influence this. The first one is the growing importance of oil in economy. We need oil for heating, transportation, electricity, and it is a prime raw material for chemicals, fertilizers, and plastics. Because we use so much oil, the demand continues to rise. The second force is the emergence of monopoly positions. When capitalism reigns, multinational oil companies, merchants, and even individual investors can obtain monopoly positions in various parts of the production process. This allows them to set a price for their parts of the process and hence impact the overall price of oil. The third force is the collection of geopolitical games being played in order to gain political power in a region or around the world. These three forces have always determined the price of oil. Over the last 5 years, the United States boosted oil production by 66% to be the largest oil and natural gas producer in the world in 2015. Saudi, Nigerian, and Algerian oil that once was sold in the United States is suddenly competing for Asian markets, and the producers are forced to drop prices. In the meantime, countries like Saudi Arabia refuse to scale back. In part to snatch up Iran's clients, as the country was under sanction.
The oil issue is a matter of, will be determined by supply and demand and by market forces. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia will protect its market share, and we have said so. If other producers want to limit or agree to a freeze in terms of additional production, that may have an impact on the market, but Saudi Arabia is not prepared to cut production.
In fact, oil prices have collapsed from more than $100 a barrel in early 2014 to around $40 this month, in part because Saudi Arabia alone, with some other oil producers, refused to cut oil production. At a meeting in Doha, Qatar, on April 17th, major oil producers, including OPEC members and Russia, met as part of efforts to agree on an output freeze, but the talks ended with no deal.
The meeting concluded that we all need time for further consultation and from now till June meeting in OPEC.
Saudi Arabia had called for Iran to be part of the agreement, but Tehran refused to take part.
One reason why Iran doesn't want to freeze the output right now, because they just try to get their market share, their previous market share before they had this sanction, U.S. sanction. So Iran still wants to larger their market share until at least they have reached the level that they have before that sanction.
There's been mixed messages coming out of Saudi Arabia as to what they're going to do. One announcement was the fact that they're not going to agree to a freeze unless Iran is part of that. And Iran has also openly said that they're not going to be part of a freeze until they've recovered their production. So there's quite a bit of uncertainty and confusion as to exactly what might happen.
Some experts are quietly noting that in a geopolitical game, the Saudis want to hurt Russia and Iran, and so does the United States. Motivation enough for the two oil-producing nations to force down prices.
The United States and the GCC will launch a new high-level economic dialogue with a focus on adjusting to lower oil prices, increasing our economic ties, and supporting GCC reforms as they work to provide jobs and opportunities to their young people.
Although there is no evidence to support this claim, policymakers in Riyadh and Washington would certainly not be upset if their strategy produced such side results. Oil markets have bounced back considerably, but some analysts still question how long the current recovery can be sustained.
Yeah, we've seen markets oversupplied for some time, perhaps about a year and a half. Demand has been growing, but you know, it's been outpaced by supply. We've seen massive growth in areas such as North America with the shale oil revolution. And rather than cutting production back, OPEC have decided to keep production at their current levels, and actually some members are producing at record rates. So that means you know, there's more supply than demand, inventories are building, and that's putting down pressure on prices.
Falling oil prices mean economic trouble for a country like Saudi Arabia that depends on sales of crude for 85 to 90% of its revenues. The country is already running a huge deficit, some 15% of the GDP. In their recent budget, the Saudis indicated that some belt tightening is in the offing, which will translate into curtailing key subsidies like gas and water. Price hikes would result in protest spikes. It's no surprise, then, that Riyadh is doing what it can to eliminate potential sources of opposition at home and abroad, whether by beheading dissidents, invading neighboring countries, or funding terrorist groups. In the United States, there are now virtually no wells that are profitable to drill. Chevron, Royal, Dutch, Shell, and BP have all announced cuts to their payrolls to save cash. And they are in far better shape than many smaller, independent oil and gas producers. Recently, oil companies in Canada severely pulled back or stopped pumping altogether after a forest fire devastated the oil sands region. And rebel attacks in Nigeria have also decreased supplies in that region.
Hacer un llamado a los países productores de petróleo, OPEP y no OPEP. Invitados el próximo 17 de abril a la reunión de Doha, Qatar, a tomar las acciones necesarias a fin de estabilizar el mercado mundial de petróleo para mejorar los precios en beneficio de países productores y consumidores.
For years, crude oil prices have swung like a pendulum, pushing and pulling the fortunes of nations. That pendulum is on the move again.